So good morning. We are going to talk about Finding Nemo, which we all know that WALL-E is my favorite Pixar movie, but Finding Nemo is like number two. And I've really had a great time with this class because it's helped me look at these things in a much just different way. I know that a lot of us watched these movies when they came out, and I wasn't necessarily thinking about all of these things when it came out. So what we're going to do is we're going to watch a couple of clips, and then we're going to talk about it. And then I found another one of those movies, like I showed last week, about sort of the symbolism explained that you could potentially use as a tool if you want to talk about this in your family. So what we're going to do is go through the opening, and then the scene after the first credits, and then a few other things. So we'll get started.
Wow.
Yes, it's really sad.
It's beautiful.
So, Carl, when you said you wanted an ocean view, you didn't think you were going to get the whole ocean, did you? Huh? Oh, yeah. A fish can breathe out of here. Did your man deliver, or did he deliver?
My man delivered.
It wasn't so easy.
Because a lot of other clown fish have their eyes on this place.
You better believe they did. Every single one.
Mm-hmm. You did. And the neighborhood is awesome.
No, I do.
I really do like it. The room, I know that the drop-off is desirable, the great schools, and the amazing view, but do we really need so much space?
Coral, honey, these are our kids we're talking about. These are the best.
Talking to her and he's all excited, and the scene that we're about to watch, which is him getting ready for Nemo's first day of school.
Don't move! Don't move! I'll never get out of here! Let's see. Are you sure you want to go to school this year? Because there's no problem if you don't. You can wait 5 or 6 years.
Come on, Dad. It's time for school.
Forgot to brush. Do you want this anemone to sting you?
Yes.
Brush.
Oh,
you missed a spot.
Where? So I want to ask you a question. What do you notice that may or may not be different between the first scene that we watched, which was before the tragedy that struck their family, and how he's acting now?
Well, his anxiety is very heightened now.
Okay, so high anxiety. What else do you notice about him as a character?
He has three stripes.
He has three stripes. A sign of the Trinity, clearly.
No,
he's overprotective.
So about rules.
All about rules.
In the first scene, he was living in the future. And in the second, he was living in the present.
Well, there's a palpable lack of dreaming. He is sort of just very creatively thinking about the beautiful future that is in front of them as a family. And then when tragedy strikes their family, like you pointed out, the conversation changes. It's about not moving forward and trying to create a new future, but actually trying to hold back movement forward. He says, you know, you could wait 1 year or maybe six before you start school. So there's a little bit of a different attitude there. So I want to show another clip. This is right after he goes to school for the first day. And this is the scene in which, spoiler alert, Nemo gets abducted. And I want us to watch that and then talk about how all the characters act within the scene. This movie's very tragedy-driven. I noticed that when I watched it the first time.
Right back here, Nemo. That's right. You were in big trouble, young man.
So this begins the quest within the movie to then go find Nemo, if you will. So I have a question for you, which is, what do you notice about the relationship between Marlin and Nemo that is being formed within the clip? Independence on the part of
Nemo.
Okay. What else?
The more he tells him he can't do it, the more he's like, you want to see how I can do it? Yeah. And the whole countdown thing, you put one. It's like, oh, yeah.
Again, I'm sure this is nothing at all like your daily life. Okay, so there's some boundary testing, I think. Because one of my questions is, what is the middle way between not being so controlling that your kids can't be kids and also offering discipline? Because Nemo tests the discipline to the extent that he ends up in actual danger. But part of that is a resistance to the hovering. So what's the middle way between those two extremes?
Yes. I think a large part of it is because Nemo thinks, and maybe correctly so, that his father's a little overprotective, but at the same time, I don't think that he really understands truly what the danger is and if there's a reason for it. So I think in enlightening them and showing them, hey, look, here's what could happen. This is the reason why I'm asking you, and really, you know, giving justification. Not that you have to justify everything you do as a parent, but I think that in a lot of cases, when a child becomes aware of your motives, why, and they understand, okay, here's what can happen, here are the consequences, perhaps they won't give you as much pushback.
And also articulating maybe that the boundaries are put into place because of love and because of care, not just, you know, hovering and being over them.
Because I think Marlin, he's dishonest. He says, you can't do this because you're not a strong swimmer.
Yeah.
Which is actually not at all the reasoning behind anything that he does. So if you're not willing to say, I don't want you to do this because I'm scared about what might happen, or I, you know, to Marlin's not willing to own his own stuff.
And that, oh, go ahead.
Not that you have to be completely self-revelatory with your kids, but kids can smell BS from a mile away. And Nemo knows it's not that his fin isn't working, it doesn't work. There's something else, but he doesn't know.
And it actually, that backfires on Marlin, right? Instead of being truthful, he offers this thing that is about him that kind of shames Nemo into feeling like he has to prove himself. And it's in that act of independence, but also proving himself to his father, that he's taken. What else do you notice in the clip about, yes?
Well, I noticed that Marlin's not trying to find a way for Nemo to explore. You know, he knows, he sees that Nemo is really trying to expand his boundaries and become more independent, and he's not trying to facilitate that at all. He's just trying to contain it. And kids push back even harder when you do that. You've got to offer them other choices, or even, you know, ask them to make a suggestion of something else after explaining the danger. Let's talk about other ideas, you know, that you can do something that's safe that would let you feel like you had an adventure, and let the kid come up with the idea. They engage more when they have that buy-in, you know.
It reminds me of The Incredibles when they won't let Dash do anything, but then they sort of like figure out the middle way of coaching him that he can run but he can't win. Sort of like, what is that middle way to letting them explore and encouraging them in that, but with boundaries around them so that they're safe.
The other thing that works into this too is this dare by his peers to go farther and farther. And even though his father's there, he's still got those kids, his peers, standing there thinking to themselves, well, he didn't want to do this, or he wasn't going to do it anyway, he was a coward. And so that's even worse than the father.
Yeah, and Marlin treats Nemo like this often, I would imagine, but it's when he's in front of his peers, and his father in front of his peers, So, and they all say, oh, he's too scared, like, clearly. And he's like, he again, he feels like he has to prove himself in this very public arena. And that's where the danger really enters for him.
And also, it's a missed opportunity for Marlin, because Nemo was about to say, no, I won't go out there because it's not safe. He was about to stand up for what was right, but because Marlin jumped in and said, you were about to do that thing I told you not to do, he didn't have the opportunity to actually show that he was strong enough to say, I'm not going to do something that's not safe.
Yes.
Also, one more thing, just I'm reminded as a teacher, myself, one sort of piece of advice that I've always felt benefits everyone is sort of keeping in mind reward in public, discipline in private. Just the idea that discipline needs to be done, but there's a way to do it. Don't do it in front of other people, you know, just because that lets them save face in front of their peers. You know, you still get the message across without having to do it in that way. And so as a teacher, sometimes it means calling a student just either just out into the hallway for a private conference or something like that. If something needs to be corrected, you can address that and still do that, but without doing it in a way that will make the student want to react against you or put on a show in front of others. So.
And this is kind of an extreme showing of what goes wrong when a person is offered good instruction, but in a way that is actually not helpful for the situation.
As a teacher, I can see this dynamic play out in many different ways, but,
Plus, they're not listening to you. The minute you start displaying in front of other people, they're just thinking, what is everyone else saying? And then you're doing this, and they're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? You know, they're wasting your breath.
So one of the dynamics, I think, in the movie, so first of all, this whole movie to me is about parenting, and it's a really deep movie about that. And one of the things that I notice about this is that he is a single parent, and in all of the scenes leading up to Nemo being taken, it's just the two of them, pretty much, like them against the world. And then something changes when Nemo is taken, and he builds a friendship. And his friendship with Dory is kind of the only friendship that we really know him to have. And so I'm wondering, what role do you think community has within learning how to be a parent?
Huge. And not just, you can have a spouse, and it's still, I think, you know, as a mother, you really need those other mothers to really help you get through things. Because he doesn't know any better than I do. We're going through it at the same time together, but I mean, like, I know the moms group of this church, I mean, they saved me so many times, just from just stupid little tiny advice to, you know, I mean, poor Jordan Teeple, she's like my neighborhood nurse. So this is on their butt. What does this mean, you know? I mean, just little things like that, that just, I think community is so important. I think that's the one, like, people who say, oh, I don't need to go to church because I pray at home and blah, 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 all that. It's like, for me, church is so much about community, more so than about being here to pray. I mean, it is about being here to pray, but, you know, that's a huge part of it for us, at least. That's why we love this church so much.
Community also helps you not be so close to the situation, because when it's right in front of you, you don't see what's going on, whereas those always around you see what's going on.
I was reflecting as I watched this about the fact that I wonder if Marlin had had some other families, if someone could help him normalize Nemo's actions, because there's nothing about what Nemo is doing that's actually uncharacteristically childlike. To be excited about school and want to go make friends and sort of the peer pressure. But again, like you said, he was going to do the right thing. Like, he had been raised up well to make good decisions. But I just kind of kept wondering, like, what would the outcome have been if someone had been able to say to Marlin, oh, this is normal. Like, this isn't a reflection on you or anything. This is just him being a kid. And I think that's part of the value of community, having other people who can say, no, I've been through that. I know how that feels. And it's hard and it's difficult, but it is, you're not different because of that experience.
Well, the fear on Marlin's part may have been driven, at least in part, by the loss of the other 9,000 eggs. worked there, and he had one child. So I can see him being overly protective because of that.
And I definitely, I don't fault Marlon for how he feels. This is a Disney movie, but this man has gone through some real tragedy in a very short period of time. And I mean, there is something to be said for the everlasting effect of grief. Grief is not something that within, you know, if you go to counseling, if you do X, Y, and Z, you recover from. I mean, he has, to me, very understandable and virtuous reasons for why he acts the way he does. I mean, he has had a lot taken from him. And so, of course, he holds very tightly to what remains. And I think being able to empathize with that, too, is really important, because there are going to be people in our lives for whom that story is not fiction. I can think of people for whom that is not fiction. And those people need our support as well and need to be loved through whatever form that takes in their lives.
It's so hard on Nemo. I mean, I have a cousin who lost a son a year ago. And I mean, just watching the other son, I mean, it's just heartbreaking. Because, you know, how do you pick yourself up and keep going? I mean, it's so hard on that second, on Nemo. Like, I don't think people ever think about how hard it is on Nemo having that dad that's like that. I mean, it's really, it's tragedy. And I understand it, but that means it doesn't suck, you know.
And I really think that one of the turning points, because later in the movie you see that Marlon begins, when he is reunited with Nemo, to let him take chances. Nemo learns, so Nemo gets taken to a fish tank of a dentist's office in Australia, and he has his little community there, so he sort of has his coming of age where he has his own friends and is not under parental guidance. But he lives there, and he learns that if you push down on the net of the little scoop, you can pull it away from the person holding it. So then in a very large scale situation, he says, I know the answer. Everyone has to swim down. And Marlon goes straight into, no, no, get out of there. You can't do that. And he says, listen, I know how to save these fish. And he says, Marlon says, I know you do. And he leans back and he swims back. And so there's been this shift. And I really think the shift is Dory. Because Dory shows up with this whole different life perspective. Dory is hilarious because she forgets everything. She has a short-term memory issue, and yet she also prophetically remembers very important things. She remembers the address, which is how they get there. So it's like the blind adequately leading the blind, which is really intriguing. But she offers him a different perspective. She offers him something new and different. And I think that it helps. And he also travels and meets all these different fish and all these different animals. He goes to a shark recovery group, which I think is hilarious. And he kind of sees the world, right? Through Dory, he sees the world. And then after getting the blinders off, he is able to see that he wants his son to see the world too. And that he wants his son to leave their little anemone and go out and to see new things. And so when we think about perspective taking, I think community within that is vital, to your point about this church.
And there's also the thing we do as parents, which is to project on our kids the things about ourselves. So I mean, when Marlon says to Nemo, you can't do it, what he's talking about is that he couldn't do it. Like, he couldn't save his wife, he couldn't save his kids. Like, the limitation is actually not about Nemo, it's about himself. And, I don't know, to me that's powerful, because as a parent, it's so often I see myself projecting onto my kids, and I have to take that step back and realize they are independent people who are different from me and have different gifts and skills than mine.
Thank goodness, right?
Yeah, thank goodness. You're not little cookie cutters than me. But, and that when he, like, sort of the same idea of self-care, of parenting as a thing, we have to take care of ourselves too. Because when Marlon learns those things about himself, then he's able to better understand his kid.
So
I think he's remembering those things about himself, that adventure that he had before.
Yeah, and he kind of shut it down.
He shuts it down, and he doesn't recognize that Nemo is that same, had that same spirit, and then somewhere along the line, he remembers and realizes the importance of it.
I want to show one last clip, and then we'll talk about it, because it has to do with a different scene in the movie that is just kind of a game changer for the film. And this is the one where they explain the character arc of Marlin.
Unconcerned with his own safety and ignoring countless jellyfish sins. This shows that Marlin is willing to accept the risk for those he loves. He demonstrates this later when he lets Nemo go to save Dory. The message is clear. In the face of what we fear most, we can surprise ourselves with our own bravery. In a vast ocean with many actual threats, not unlike our own world. One must judge each situation, finding a middle ground between hypervigilance and letting go when safe fun is okay.
So I hope that was a pretty great summary of like finding the balance, and could maybe be a tool that you would use if you were to decide to turn movie night into a spiritual formation class at your house. Did you notice anything from the video that stuck out to you? Or anything else that you would like to share before we close? You feel really sad? There are funny scenes. I just do want you to know that. I realized later that I handpicked all the like really depressing scenes, and that might be a reflection of me. You're talking about projecting things onto people, but those were the big dramatic moments that sort of were important, I think, to understanding the core values of the film. I am going to bring us to a close because I have to take all this back to the office, but I just appreciate all of you hanging out for 4 weeks. This was super fun. Oh gosh, it starts on the video. This was super fun, and I'm really excited about this being a module that we repeat. So I hope that you will join us for another module, and if you have any suggestions for movies that you really like, I will take suggestions. You can send me all your favorite Pixar movies that we haven't already talked about, and I will fit them into our schedule. So why don't I close us in prayer? Let us pray. God, we give great thanks that you have built up around us this community that is the body of Christ, that you have raised up around us saints and angels to lead and guide us wherever we go. Lord, I ask that your presence and your love and your peace would be with all parents, and that you would offer to them the guidance and care that they need the comfort that they need in times of anxiety or fearfulness. And Lord, I pray that you would bless their families and all those who love them. I pray especially for all mothers, mothers to whom you have given that vocation and that gift and that calling. It is in great gratitude that we have these women in our lives. And I was recently reminded that 100% of all people come from mothers. And for that, we give great thanks. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it's in your name that we pray.
Amen. Amen.